Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show,
Michael Seifert joins us from one of our favorite partners, Public Square, publicsq.com. Everyone should download the Public Square app right now. Take out your phone. New year, new shopping patterns. Check it out. publicsq.com. And then also one of my favorite senators. He is fighting very, very hard, and he's doing a great job. From the great state of Alabama, Senator Tuberville. And please consider becoming a member of the Charlie Kirk team. That's charliekirk.com and click on the members tab, charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. The fight over DEI continues into the C-suite. Michael Seifert joins us from one of our favorite partners, Public Square. Michael, welcome back to the show. So it's publicsquare.com. So tell us about this story here in the New York Times, fight over DEI in the C-suite. People must understand the DEI fight is more in corporate America than ever before. Talk about it.
Well, it was spawned, Charlie, by the resignation of Claudine Gay, the president at Harvard. And what's really interesting about her quote-unquote resignation is that she's actually still being paid $900,000 a year. For what? I'm not sure exactly. But what's interesting about this resignation is that New York Times is saying, softly, but they're still saying it throughout this piece, that this fight against DEI is actually a racist endeavor. They believe, as Claudine has mentioned, as well as Al Sharpton and other racial rights advocates, they've claimed that any opposition from Bill Ackman or Elon Musk or myself or you, Charlie, is inherently rooted in racism, when the opposite is true. I actually believe that DEI is a racist ideology. And in this piece, Bill Ackman breaks that down. He says that DEI at its core is actually a racist and divisive ideology that prioritizes some skin colors above other skin colors. And it just so happens that white people over the past two decades have been at the losing end of this DEI fight. So Bill Ackman is not asking that white people would have a leg up in employment decisions. We're asking for actual equality. But Charlie, you'll notice as you read this New York Times piece that came on the heels of an Axios piece, which I can discuss in a second, but this New York Times piece spoke in favor heavily of terms like equity, which is the true nemesis of actual equality. We want to get back in our economy to a place, and this is what Bill Ackman and Elon and myself and you are all saying, we want to get back to a place in our economy where excellence and meritocracy are the reasons for employment decisions. Claudine Gay did not deserve to be the president of Harvard. She had zero credentials that would have accounted for her position from a meritocracy perspective. And not only that, plagiarism at this institution, defended by entities like the AP or CNN, should absolutely disqualify you from higher academia in general, let alone the president of one of the most prestigious, quote unquote, entities in the country. So this whole battle is not about one side is fighting for equity and the rights of those that are most marginalized, and the other side is fighting for white people. That's not this. This is racism versus common sense, and we're on the side of common sense.
And you're an amazing tech company. Again, everyone should check out publicsquare.com, download the app, do some shopping. I want to emphasize this Bloomberg story. It didn't get the coverage that it deserved. And by the way, it was written by Bloomberg as a celebratory story. They wrote it and they said, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. And by the way, this goes to show that you'll never get to a level of pandering that they are sufficient with, because the number is so unbelievable. It says that in 2021, that specific year, that 96% or maybe 94%, whatever, 96% of all new hires out of 300,000 jobs in the S&P 100 went to non-whites. Now, they were like, this is so great. It's so amazing. It's so unbelievable. How can we possibly, you know, we're celebrating this. And wait, hold on. You're trying to tell me that 6% of all new jobs went to white people? That is active stereotyping and discrimination, Michael Seifert.
Well, Charlie, I'm glad you brought that up. There was a new development in that story this morning as well. Zero Hedge on X broke that after looking at the recent jobs numbers, it was discovered that there have been no new jobs, no new job growth for native-born Americans over the last 5 years. Since 2018, the scale has stayed flat for new jobs for non-immigrants. But new job growth for illegal immigrants and migrants coming across the southern border, people that are breaking the law to enter our company, has skyrocketed. So what we're finding is that not only are companies actively discriminating against white people, they're actively discriminating against Americans, favoring foreign labor. So if you pair that sort of reality with the rhetoric out of people like Joe Biden or even Nikki Haley on the Republican side, who celebrates open borders and says we need to be compassionate toward these people coming over looking for a better life for their families. I'm sorry, but Somalian middle-aged men coming through the southern border illegally, jumping the line of people that are waiting to do it the right way and then taking jobs while native-born Americans have been completely flatlined in their ability to achieve job growth is the very opposite of what any healthy, functioning, equality-focused country would ever pursue.
No, that's exactly right. And you look at the tech company, the tech jobs in particular, and Michael comments on this. There's this narrative that we need to bring in foreigners. We have to bring in foreigners for all of our tech jobs, all of our tech jobs. And yet Americans who study in these fields now have to compete and wages go down against this kind of form of indentured servitude that exists with a lot of these tech companies. At Public Square, you guys are America first through and through, publicsquare.com. And what is it going to take to get our companies to prioritize American labor over foreign profits?
Well, first off, they have to see that the profit centers are shifting. That's why a company like ours exists. We have to shift the profit structures toward the businesses that are American owned and operated. They're independent at their core. They're not owned by foreign conglomerates. And secondly, we have to rid ourselves of the institutions that were supposed to be supporting American small businesses decades ago, but have since long left that original mandate. A good example is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has advocated for open borders policies that harm the very small businesses that are supposed to be employing American workers. So it continues and promulgates this vicious cycle where business communities in the United States today are incentivized to foreign work and foreign labor coming in our shores. And it absolutely prices native-born Americans out of the market. The only way that shifts, we have to see our profit centers maximized toward American-owned entrepreneurship. Businesses like Public Square, businesses like Rumble, businesses that are offering alternatives to sort of the mainstream institutional America are absolutely imperative. We have to support as well the supply chain enterprises that are based here. They have to be given access to a great network of small businesses because we have to help people understand not only is it the right thing to do to support American labor, it is also in the long term, the profitable thing to do. We have to see an American Renaissance era created where the incentive structures are actually reversed back to the way that it was in the 50s and the 60s, coming out of World War II, where American labor was actually prospering before we saw our country sold out to globalists for cheap labor. The chairman of FedEx, for example, who built FedEx as the founder, has celebrated Chinese labor for far too long. We need that generation to no longer be in power and have a new generation of populists that arise that say, guys, we cannot sell out Main Street at the expense of simply a cheaper bottom line. It will not work. The only way that happens, though, Charlie, is if consumers at the end of the day, because the consumer drives the change more than anybody else, the consumer has to put their money in different places. We have to make our message loud and clear. We are shifting our dollars to companies that will actually support our communities. That's the only way we win in the long run. It's bigger than just voting. It has to look like voting with our dollars as well.
And that's what you guys are making it possible. So just for some of our new listeners, refresh them, walk through the new stuff you guys have. Every Life. We did a whole nice thing with Every Life yesterday.
PublicSquare.com is the best place to go to support the very types of American-owned, independent-owned businesses that we're describing. They are doing their best to support their local economies. They're doing their best. These are over 75,000 vendors, by the way, Charlie. They're doing their best to try to source as many of their products from our shores as they possibly can. They're on a journey to doing that, and they deserve our support. Not only that, these 75,000-plus vendors at PublicSquare.com have all agreed with our core values. They've been vetted in alignment with those values. And the majority of them will actually give discounts to you when you go and shop there at PublicSquare.com. We have amazing brands that are third parties. We also own some of our own brands that are on that platform as well, like Every Life, the only pro-life baby brand in the United States today. We are just getting started. We only launched nationwide about 18 months ago, and we have a bright future ahead of us. But it is going to take the help of millions of consumers that are voting with their wallets day in and day out. If that happens, we're going to see a parallel economy created.
Are you ready to lose weight, but not sure where to start? Look, I understand. And I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. I highly recommend this program. It started with a Zoom call with Dr. Ashley Lucas, and we had an amazing call, and I asked her all the tough questions. She has a PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. And secondly, the PhD program starts with nutrition, but it's so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. This works, and if you want to make a New Year's resolution to lose weight, this is the solution for you. You get your own coach. They send you a lot of the food. And look, there are no shortcuts. There's no pills. There's no injections. There's no Ozempic or any of that nonsense. Just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change, and it works. And finally, and probably most importantly, I lost well over 30 pounds. You can go look at old videos of me. I was much heavier than I am now, and I feel better. I wake up with more spirit, more energy, more mental clarity, and I haven't gained a pound back. In fact, I've been able to maintain it. It's a complete and total lifestyle change. It's because my PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition has a lifelong maintenance plan. If you are ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900 to get started. Or you can go online at myphdweightloss.com. Dr. Ashley Lucas, she has something really special going on here. I can personally endorse it. I could tell you, and by the way, it's not just the weight loss. My blood work, and if you guys haven't done your blood work, you should. All the markers improved. Everything. Hormones, energy. It's amazing across the board. And so it's a shot of vitality. And if you're overweight, you're like most Americans. Well, decide to do something about it, not trying to shame you or make you feel bad, but if you want to improve your life, a good way to start is to lose some weight. So go to myphdweightloss.com and do what hundreds of my listeners have done and call them today. It's 864-644-1900. I have benefited from this, no BS, no spin. I vetted them, I did the program, I lost 30 pounds, and it has benefited my life. In fact, this last year, the numbers are just amazing. If you look at what we've been able to do, it's largely because I lost weight. 295 days of radio, 1,200 plus hours of radio, 550 plus speeches and interviews, 230 days on the road, and well over 400 people on staff at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. And I wouldn't have been able to do it if I did not have the energy, the spirit, the mental clarity that I got from my PhD weight loss. So check it out right now, myphdweightloss.com. You say, boy, I want to lose weight. Well, turn your wants into musts. And go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. I want to play this piece of tape here of Vivek Ramaswamy, someone we both know, Michael, and he's pushing back against all this narrative. Let's play cut 26.
I'm not going to recite some catechism for you. I'm against vicious racial discrimination in this country. So I'm not pledging allegiance to your new religion of modern wokeism, which absolutely fits the test. I'm not going to bend the knee to your religion. I'm sorry. I'm not asking you to bend the knee to mine, and I'm not going to bend the knee to yours. But do I condemn vicious racial discrimination? Yes, I do. Am I going to play your silly game of gotcha? No, I'm not. And the reality is, I condemn vicious racial discrimination in this country, but the kind of vicious and systematic racial discrimination we see today is discrimination on the basis of race in a very different direction.
So, Michael, what he did there is push back against this almost mandatory kneeling that you see in corporate America. It takes courage. Talk about what you're trying to do at Public Square and how it's difficult to reject the tempting ESG country club?
Well, I will tell you, Charlie, that I really admire Vivek because he actually has been at this for a while. He wrote the book Woke Inc. as a very prophetic warning of what would happen if the economy would embrace this sort of woke DEI ESG driven cesspool that's far more focused on pandering to quote marginalized communities rather than just providing value to your shareholders and your customers. And anytime you're trying to push back against a real cultural behemoth, it takes a lot of perseverance and you have a lot of arrows flying your way. We've certainly experienced them at Public Square. I know you've experienced it at Turning Point, but I will tell you that no great movement was ever born rid of adversity. In fact, most great movements were birthed in a direct rebuke of whatever was culturally popular at the time. And so while we certainly face a massive amount of challenges as a company that's trying to go against the status quo, I'm confident of two things. Number one, I'm confident that history will look fondly upon our efforts. And number two, I'm confident that we are actually representing what the actual American people want. People do not want to be lectured about race and gender when they're simply trying to shop. They do not want to be hired based upon their race. They do not want to be discriminated against based upon their race. And here's the reality. There's only one side in this debate that's actually trying to help everybody, and it's our side. Here's an example. If you are a Black person in this country today that is hired based upon the fulfilling of a DEI quota, you will live the rest of your life in that career, never certain whether or not you were hired because of your skill set, your resume, your excellence at your craft, or whether it was just because you needed to fill a racial quota and it just so happened that an immutable characteristic that you had no control over was actually responsible for your hiring. So you have that realization that you have to live with, or we could have a society where you were hired with the blessed assurance that it was purely because of the excellence of your skill set. You were purely hired because you were good at your job. You were purely hired because you have the track record of expertise to showcase that you would be a value add to this organization. There's only one side of the argument that's trying to fight for that sort of reality in corporate America. And it is the side of you and me and people like Vivek. And so I love for him to be the tip of the spear out there, shouting this message. It's certainly one that we are trying to parrot at Public Square.
I love it. Michael, keep up the great work. PublicSquare.com. Keep it up. Great work. Thanks so much.
Good to see you, Charlie.
Thank you. I want to read you a text message, everybody, that is being sent out right now. It's being sent out to Democrat donors. Bad news. Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA, TPUSA.com, a far-right youth group backed by Trump, working to indoctrinate students into the MAGA extremism, just announced its commitment to spend $108 million on targeting high school and college kids in swing states for Trump. Well, first of all, that's Turning Point action, but this comes as 12th grade boys, many of whom are first-time voters in 2024, are now more conservative than at any point in the last 50 years. I promise you I didn't write this. At Dream for America, our mission of fighting back against far-right TPUSA is starting off 2024 with a formidable strength and remarkable momentum. What just began as idea has quickly grown into a national network, building robust and grassroots fundraising army to take on the TPUSA machine. These guys exist just obsessing about us. That's how you know you're doing something. We're young, we're scrappy, and we're surging faster than ever to make sure students across the country are offered a choice between democracy or fascism. Together, let's head into the new year to correct the record, engage young voters, and mobilize a new generation of democracy defenders to reelect Joe Biden and solidify our generation's place in history. TPUSA relies on Trump and their billionaire friends, but we rely on you. This is not a joke, by the way. This is a real thing they're sending out like crazy. Can you chip in $25 right now to make sure students across the country are offered a choice between democracy or fascism? Election Day is 10 months away, but the work starts today. It's an organization called Dream for America. And by the way, we have 300,000 grassroots donors at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. 300,000. The media never covers that. They never cover that we have one of the most impressive donor bases of any organization. I tell people 300,000, they don't believe it, but it's true. And we're making the left very, very nervous at what we're doing at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. They should be nervous because we're really starting to put some wins on the board. We're just getting started. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever and just in time for Christmas. For a limited time, get the Giza Dream Bed Sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for just $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in variety of sizes and colors and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening now. They're extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2024, making them the perfect gift for your friends and your family and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 1-800-875-0425. Get big discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining us now is one of my favorite senators. He is fighting very, very hard, and he's doing a great job. From the great state of Alabama, Senator Tuberville. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Charlie. Happy New Year, and it's great to hear you talking about our Patriots. And I just saw a terrible stat last year. We got 378 police officers shot in the line of duty. A huge record, big record. And we don't need records like that. And folks, the cavalry's coming. We got election year coming up. We've got to take control.
Oh, don't we ever. So, Coach, I want to ask you about the border. I have some pieces of tape I want to play here, including getting your reaction to Mayorkas. But of all the topics that we cover on this program, the one that makes me the most angry and honestly the most demoralized is the invasion happening on our southern border. The Senate is coming back into session. I'm worried that they're going to, quote unquote, strike some deal. That is not exactly a deal, where it's actually just going to make the invasion happen more seamlessly, effectively. What's going on here, Senator? Your reaction to the daily invasion of America happening on our southern border?
Well, it took 3 years, Charlie, to get the Democrats and Joe Biden to come to the table, and they had to because they want to hold the American taxpayer hostage for $100 billion more to send overseas. And that's the only reason that they're negotiating. Now, James Lankford, Senator from Oklahoma, has done a great job, but the problem is, you know, there's laws right now that we have that would fix this. They're not going to go by anything. They're going to break every law in the world. Joe Biden has not gone by any laws of the Constitution since he's taken over. There's no reason. You know, we're up 480% at the northern border. People don't realize that. The northern border, we're so far up. People are coming across the border because Canada has gone to heck in a handbasket. And so we're getting attacked from both sides. But the Biden administration, they're globalists. They want everybody to come here. They want to take over. They want to just eliminate the Constitution. They want a one world government. And it's we're going to have one more shot at this, and it's going to be next November.
Yeah, it's coming down to it. So, Senator, I want to play a piece of tape here of Mayorkas. This guy, I believe, is actively committing treason against the country. I know those are heavy words, but he's not doing anything to stop what's happening on the southern border. Let's play cut 97, please.
Would it be surprise you to hear that CBP sources say that currently they are releasing more than 70% of the migrants crossing every day, and sometimes more than that number, higher than 70%? Would that surprise you?
It would not. It would not surprise me at all. I know the data, and I will tell you that when individuals are released, they are released into immigration enforcement proceedings. They are on alternatives to detention, and we have returned or removed a record number of individuals. We are enforcing the laws that Congress has passed.
Senator, this is really, really bad stuff here. He is saying, I love this, by the way, he's got some slippery PR agent. I want to find out who that is working at DHS. Because they've been alternatives to detention. Senator, your reaction?
Yeah, they just talk in circles is all they do. The Obama-Biden administration, that's what it is. They want open borders. They did the same thing in Europe. If you remember back 10, 12 years ago, Europe was being overrun by refugees. And Obama basically said, hey, if you don't let them in, we're going to cut your money off. And so they've ruined Europe, basically have lost control. Well, they're doing the same thing here now. And they know that we cannot handle this many people. They know that it's going to be a detriment to the taxpayers of this country. You know, we're spending money that we don't have to take care of these people. And we love everybody. But we have got to keep control of our borders if we're going to have a country.
So, Senator, what can you fill in without obviously having any private conversations? What's the chatter right now? Because there's some reporting, political.com, that there might be some bipartisan border deal. Are you optimistic about this? Do you think it's actually going to secure and seal our southern border? Is it just going to be for paperwork processing? What is the kind of Senate hallway chatter indicating?
Well, you know, first of all, you've got a group of us that say, listen, the only way that we're going to agree to anything is they limit the number of people that come across the border. Basically to limit it. And it's going to have to be a very, very low number, probably about 10% of what they're letting across right now. Other than that, they're going to break the law, Charlie. They're not going to do anything that they will agree to as long as they get that $100 billion in their pocket where they can give it away over in Ukraine or wherever. And then at the end of the day, you know, not be accountable for it. But I don't see anything happening where I think at the end of the day, if everything goes as what we're seeing, we're going to have to live with this until next November. I had breakfast a few weeks ago with a high official out of Mexico, and I want to come talk to you, sit down and tell me what's going on. He basically said, listen, Coach, we have hired in Mexico 38,000 new people to stop the flow of people coming from Central America. Now, if we had not done that, you would already be overrun. But he said, I will tell you this. He says, I don't care how many people that we put in and on the border of Central America, it's not going to work for this last year because they know that Joe Biden probably is not going to run or win. And so they're all going to come this year, and we probably will see 3, 4, maybe 5 million people come across the border before the end of this term of this administration. That makes you sick at your stomach, but we're going to have to put up with it. Elections have consequences. I hear him say that, hey, Joe Biden says, you know, the Republicans aren't giving me money. This guy's lost his mind. I mean, we have offered everything in the world to stop the flow of immigrants, but he does not want to make any type of deal. They're just going to open it up and let them come.
So, Senator, I'm 100% with you on the election, and it is the destination that we need to keep our eyes on. However, there is this spending fight. Speaker Johnson was on the border yesterday. Is there anything legislatively that we can done or do, or they're just going to say, we're going to break the law, so be it? Is it Mike Lee has said that he will not vote to fund the government while the border is open? Is that something your conference is entertaining?
Well, there's several of us that are on that page. We've got two things over the Democrats right now. They want $100 billion to waste and to spend over in Europe on Ukraine. And then, of course, they're going to want to fund the government with this excess expense of a lot of things that we need to start cutting back. I don't know whether you saw it, Charlie, but a few weeks ago, we hit 23 million of federal employees that work for the government. 23 million, a record number, and they continue to grow every day. So we've got to find a way to cut back. The American taxpayer can't afford this. We spent from September the 18th to December the 28th $1 trillion more than what we should have spent. Think about that in 3 months. We're not doing that now in a year, year and a half. We're doing it in just a month's time, and we're looking at $40 trillion in debt in a short period of time.
And the national debt and the deficit are some of the biggest issues. And I'll be honest, I haven't seen an appetite from most Republicans to really make the spending cuts that are necessary. I mean, we have huge amounts of waste and fraud and abuse all across the board. And so, Senator, we're now going to enter this season, and I sure hope this is not the case where it feels as if people are just going to say it's an election year and we're not going to buckle down and we're not going to do what's necessary. You have a new bill out I want to make sure we highlight where you introduced the No VA Resources for Illegal Aliens Act. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm on the Veterans Committee, and there's nobody more important than our veterans, that we need to take care of them, and they're short. They're short-ended when it comes to the VA. We've added money. There's 22 million veterans in our country. We can only treat 11 million. We can only treat 50%. So what we did is we started these satellite hospitals and clinics all over rural areas where an 80-year-old veteran doesn't have to drive 2 hours to go to a VA. And so we started all these, we call them community care. Well, now Joe Biden has opened up all those community care centers to illegal immigrants. We have to pay 100% for their health care. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now the veterans are having to stand in line at their own community care centers and at the VA. So I'm trying to stop this. Quit spending our VA and our veterans' money on illegal immigrants. It's not right. It's wrong. And You know, this administration does not care about anything other than maintaining control and getting people in there where they'll vote for them because they allowed them to come across the border illegally.
So, Senator, in closing here, big year. There's a lot of different elections that are popping up. Any races that have really caught your attention? Obviously, the presidential race is the big one, but Senate races that you're going to be spending time raising capital for, what are the ones that you think the base really needs to be aware of?
Yeah, and Pennsylvania is going to be huge. Of course, Montana is going to be a very, very important. Arizona is going to be very, very important. There's not any of them that's not important, but there's some that we've really got to focus on. We have to take the Senate. There's no doubt about that. But I found this out, Charlie, since I've been here, and I'm not a politician. I was an educator. I was a football coach. I'm here to help our country. I'm not up here for a career. But the one thing that I notice is the things across this country, people want to get reelected. I mean, it's not about doing the right thing. It's about just doing things just to get reelected, doing things that will appease, you know, the people that do elect them. But we have got to have a fair election coming up. We have got to take the White House. And again, the thing that I've noticed, if you don't have the White House, I don't care if you've got the House or the Senate, we have given so much power to the President of the United States with these executive orders. It's just embarrassing to see what they do. This men playing in women's sports is all an executive order. Transgenders in the military is an executive order. It makes no sense for this to be happening, but that's the direction that this group wants to go, and we've got to get them out of
office. Thank you so much for your time. I would say, sorry about the Rose Bowl result, but privately, I don't know who you are. As a former Auburn coach, I'm half kidding. You represent the great state of Alabama. You're always cheering for Alabama, I hope. All right, Coach, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. God bless.
All right, I want to tell you about Herzog. Herzog Foundation is amazing. I want you guys to check it out right now. We've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source of American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents. From their online publication, The Lion, to the new podcast, Making the Leap, Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents. To learn more about how your family and faith and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. HerzogFoundation.com. H-E-R-Z-O-G. HerzogFoundation.com. We riffed on this a little bit yesterday. We're going to talk about this in the Ask Me Anything episode hour coming up in the next hour. And we talked about how there's an intentional campaign by the federal government to weaken the dollar, to deteriorate the dollar, which means you get inflation. And they're doing so through massive quantitative easing, very sneakily, by the way. For those of you that may not be paying attention, just off the top of your head, if you're not, I want you to answer this. And if you get the answer right, email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Without Googling, honor system, the NASDAQ. What kind of year did it have in 2023? Was it down 10%, down 15%, up 5%, up 10%? What do you think? How do you think the NASDAQ did in 2023? Pretty simple question. NASDAQ is a stock market index that includes almost all stocks listed on the NASDAQ stock exchange, along with the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. So how do you think it did? If you Google it, if you get the number exactly right, I know that you Googled it. And I'll tell you the answer in about a minute as the emails start flowing in. When you start to expand the money supply, money has to find a home. It's one of the rules of economics. Monetary policy impacts the economy even more than fiscal policy. Fiscal policy is important. Taxes, regulation, spending, those are the three main things. Taxes, regulation, spending. We are overregulating right now. We are overtaxing right now. And we are spending way too much. We should be cutting spending, we should be cutting regulations, we should be cutting taxes, all three. We're not doing any of those. But then monetary policy, that's really where you start to get in trouble. Monetary policy is an academic way of saying money printing. That simple. So you expand the money supply, the money has to find a home. And when the money has to find a home, you start to get assets that are overly inflated. That is why Microsoft is almost a $3 trillion company. Andrew looked it up. So the NASDAQ in 2023 was up 43%. 43%. Now, mind you, at the end of 2022, there was a big market correction, so it was going up for that. But did the economy grow by 43%? Did we really have profits and earnings to reflect a 43% year? Let's go back in the Wayback Machine. March or April of last year, we had bank runs or bank failures. Silicon Valley Bank. What happened? Well, Janet Yellen, who is a sneaky little trickster, she knows all these little pockets of money that she could deploy. Buy back bonds here and release here. And so the money eventually has to find a home. And it will find a home in publicly traded securities or in real estate. This is why, despite the fact that the economy is not good, that asset prices, especially real estate, is going up. And that is so bad for millennials. It's so bad for Gen Z. In fact, a new story shows here. And again, I want to get into this in the Ask Me Anything episode. American dream gone. Gen Z dumps owning homes for luxury rentals. That is bad for the economy. That's bad for the civilization. It's bad for the renter. It's bad across the board. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. By the way, so the emails have come in. People said, oh, Charlie, I think it was up 8%, up 10%, up 5%, up 43%. But it's all funny money. It's fake. It is a sugar high. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that it's going to burst. That's what's so interesting. But what it does mean is that the federal government is signaling to you, they are broadcasting to you every single day, 15 to 20% inflation is becoming the new norm. 15 to 20% inflation is becoming the new norm. That means that you have to outperform inflation and not get poor. You have to become richer than inflation every year to not get poor. Your assets have to mature over the rate of inflation. Your investments have to mature and perform over the rate of inflation. Only the hyper-rich will be able to do that. Only people that can be diversified into different sorts of asset classes will be able to post a 30% annualized return. I remember back when people used to brag that they would get a 7% return. If you're getting a 7% return in the new normal, you will get 13% poorer with where we're headed. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.